You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, Future You gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future You goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.
You're locked on the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Sorry, I have to answer this guy. Sorry, Nick.
Hurry up, my arm's tired.
You can put it down because it's going to take a second more. If you're just joining us, when you tune in the middle of it, it's always a problem. But I have to set this straight because I just won't be able to rest.
Seriously, my hands are killing me.
If you're a football fan, the holiday season's here, and we know what that means. Bowl season, as in well over 30 bowl games before the championship game on January 6th. It's not enough. If that's not enough to get you excited, the playoff push is underway in the pros. Need even more? Well, the DraftKings Sportsbook app can get you in on all that action and more 24/7, 365 days a year. With so much going on, they have great promotions running every day, including on the bowl games, especially this week. DraftKings is giving away 8 days of sportsbook gifts this holiday season. Be sure to check out the promos tab in the DraftKings Sportsbook app each of the 8 days leading up to Christmas to open your daily gift. You definitely won't want to miss what's in store for Christmas Day. With promos like these, it's no wonder DraftKings Sportsbook is America's top-rated sportsbook app. And now, the call to action. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use code WHBE for a limited time. Only you can get a free bet when you sign up. Plus, when you make your first bet, you can get a risk-free bet of up to $500. Don't forget, sign up with code WHBE to place your first bet, and you can get a risk-free bet up to $500. The code is WHBE. If you don't put that code in, what are you doing? Why would you not put the code in? You get a $500 risk-free bet. Only at DraftKings
like
Sportsbook.
Chris Russo.
Must be 21 years or older. Indiana only. Restrictions do apply. See the site for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. I wonder how they came up with that number for that. 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
But it fits. Yeah. Where do you go?
That's it. You're done.
No, because I talked over the
what?
Website.
What? The website. What do you mean?
Where you can make the bet.
DraftKings Sport. You got a DraftKings website.
Okay.
Yeah, go to DraftKings, find it, download the app, download the top-rated. By the way, it is the top-rated online website, online sports wagering website.
That is true.
The top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. That's how you want to do it. Okay?
Gotcha.
So there you go.
Because I felt like I talked over you, because you did sound like Chris Russo there for a little bit.
There's nothing wrong with that. He's made millions of dollars doing this.
I've made
hundreds of dollars.
He's got an entire Sirius XM. Station. My hand really hurts. I probably should have just handed you the copy instead of holding it up to the window.
But that's okay. You like to. It was a good workout for you, as a matter of fact.
Ugh, my serving hand.
Tell the people what else we got
that
coming
up. That sounds dirty.
Hour.
Sorry. No. Like serving food is what I meant. John Gasway of ESPN will join us coming up at 2:15. And then Sully after him. It is Monday. We'll get with Sully. Unfortunately, that means it's highly unlikely we'll be doing a V-Stakes because the 2 o'clock hour is jam-packed. I vamped a little bit there. Are you done?
No, but not completely, because I'm still getting texts on this, which is amazing. You talk race, and it just writes home. But I really was not intending to be inflammatory. I'm just speaking in facts, and I should have pointed this out. So somebody pointed out to me, which is true. If you don't like it or don't understand why that symbol would stand for that, it doesn't matter. It's recognized by whatever that group is that recognizes, you know, hate symbols, the institute that does all that. It's a recognized hate symbol.
ALCU or ACLU?
No, don't say that because people – no, it's not the ACL. It's the,
oh, I thought it was.
No, that has a symbol for a bunch of people. It's, you know, bleeding heart, liberal snowflakes, so they'll immediately tune it out. It's a recognized study group that documents hate groups and hate symbols. And And so the point is, it whether you, like I said, the word gay, you know, if you don't, if you think you still want to mean happiness from the 1920s, that's fine. But it doesn't anymore. It means what it means. So there you go. So that's it. I have one more sentence to type, and then I'm done with this. I typed the whole thing, and then I looked up, and if you hit the wrong combination of keys, the computer, it's like winning a slot machine.
It just goes
nuts. Oh, it goes wild. I was getting the history of texts. I got the history of the, you know, nine-pin bowling. It was all over the map.
Well, that's right in your wheelhouse, I feel like.
Everybody told me it's the Southern Poverty Law Center. Thank you for that. Thank you, listeners, for pointing out who that is. We're telling you, got smart peoples be listening to the show.
What's the Southern Poverty Law Center?
That's the group that acknowledges they document it. So if you want to be up to date on what is, you want to know what the hell's going on,
really?
They will tell you this. This is, you know, because, you know, this is a recognized hate group, or this is a recognized
really?
Symbol.
I never heard of that.
Southern Poverty Law Center.
Very interesting.
One person has said that.
Well, while you're finishing your typing, I want to remind everybody that if you're hungry, there's tons of great stuff you could eat in the city. But if you want pizza, use promo code RadioXL for an extra large two-topping pizza and a two-liter for just $15. Fantastic.
That's not a nice text to read on the air, so we'll make
just
it
go
to
PapaJohns.com or use the Papa John's app.
All right. The rest of it is, some of it is silly. Some of it's snarky. No sense getting into that. All right.
You also have a promo sheet there. There's tons of great stuff. I already told them about the Radio XL. Is it? Wait.
I don't have. You didn't give me the new. Oh, this is the new promo sheet.
There it is. Right at the top there. Right? Promo code
Radio
XL.
Hey, I have a question. What did you say today's date was?
The 16th.
Okay. So then we should still read this, right? The Drive for Diamonds?
By all means.
ESPN Louisville and the Huffman Auto Group want to make your holiday season a little more sparkly by giving you a chance to win a $1,000 gift card to Genesis Diamonds. That's a lot of money.
Hey.
Just go to ESPNLouisville.com, find the Drive for Diamonds link. Where is it? I'm looking all around. Here's the big head of producer. What is this? Oh, this process. I don't need to. Oh, that's good. Oh, that process is Ranto. He's crazy about that. Well, this is the last hour documentary of the V-Show. That's where he gave the Sagarin pick. Sagarin's been really good. Oh, here it is. The Drive for Diamonds link. And you can register to win. Registration will close Thursday, December 19th. The winner will be announced on Friday, December 20th. It'll be a formal announcement. Whether you want to treat yourself or give someone special and unforgettable gift, go to ESPNLouisville.com for a chance to win the $1,000 gift card to our friends from our friends at Genesis Diamonds. All right, this is what you wanted me to tell people. Louisville basketball back in action with its last game before the Christmas break. They take on Miami of Ohio. Join Marcus Maben for the Louisville basketball pregame show at 7:30 p.m. on all ESPN Louisville, coming to you on all ESPN Louisville stations, coming live from the Galt House. Then immediately after the game to the Coors Light postgame show with that great French commentator, Stephen Romage, also here on ESPN, on all ESPN Louisville programming. We're your first place in town, the very first place that'll take your calls. You'll hear live from Chris Mack, this player sound, and a lot more. But don't forget, Kentucky's playing basketball, too. And they're back in action when the Cats take on Utah from Las Vegas, where Mike Pratt is out there right now trying to win some money. I don't even know if he's playing anything, but Las Vegas is a fun place. Remember, directly following that game on Wednesday, it's the Kentucky Farm Bureau Insurance postgame show with Jason Entz. We're the first place that will take your calls. You'll hear from John Calipari and a lot more. If you're looking for football, oh, we got your football. I got your football right. Here's your football. Tonight, the Colts and Saints at 7 p.m. It's Monday Night Football, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Saturday, the Texans and the Bucks. Because now the NFL teams stop playing on Saturday because the colleges aren't playing on Saturday. So they say, well, we'll fill the void. We'll put the professional people in there. So the Texans, how about you? I mean, it's just, it's a triple header. A triple header. Three games.
That's a lot.
Texans and the Bucks, 12:30 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7. Then right after that, the Bills and the Patriots at 4:15 on ESPN 680, 105.7. And then the Rams and the 49ers will be joined in progress at the conclusion of UK's post game on ESPN 680, 105.7 as well, all Saturday. And then Sunday, oh my gosh, they're still coming fast and furious with the football. Panthers and the Colts, 12 o'clock kickoff at noon, or airtime anyway, not kickoff, but airtime at noon. Ravens and Browns, we're your home for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. And then the Chiefs and the Bears at 7:30. Those last two games on 93.9 The Ville. The first game at noon airtime is the Colts game, and that's on ESPN 680, 105.7. And then we've got Bulls coming up as well. The bowl season on ESPN Louisville starts with the Camellia Bowl, FIU versus Arkansas State. That's Rich Savozic's school. He's the assistant athletic director
at Arkansas State.
He's going to get some bowl swag. 5:30 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville. That's Saturday. And then the R.L. Carriers New Orleans Bowl with the former home for Scott Satterfield, App State versus UAB. That'll be at 9 o'clock on 93.9 The Ville. And then the Jeff Walls Show featuring Jeff Walls. Once again, we're your home for that. The Jeff Walls Show, Coach and Nick Curran tomorrow at 7 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville live from Mark's Feed Store, their Fern Creek location. You can get some good grub there as well. Nick's making a run for it. I don't know where he's going, so I don't know what that means, because I thought we had guests coming up here, but there you go. So what? Where did you go? Was somebody at the door? All right. Are we taking a break, or what am I doing? You want to give me some instruction here? What would you like to do?
Just talk a little bit.
All right. I'll tell you about vitality, because I'm a realist, as I hope you know from listening to the program. The holiday season is not a time. Let's put it this way. You're going to be the unicorn if you try and start a diet right now. I mean, it's just not going to happen. We got a Christmas party tomorrow. We got all sorts of things going on here. Why are you making faces? Because he's not going to join us. We got our party tomorrow. We got all sorts of great things going on. So I'm sure you do where you are as well. Everybody I talk to, our office party's Wednesday. It's Thursday. It's Saturday. And then we're going here. We're going there. And, my mother, my grandmother, my aunt, this is the holiday. You know, we did the game the other day, and Gus Allen, our producer, his mom every year makes homemade candy. And, it's a tray of like 20 different kinds of candy. It's outstanding. You're not going to do that now. But what you should do is plan, because the single biggest, quote-unquote, New Year's resolution that people make is after the New Year, they are going to lose some weight. And the way you want to do that is by doing it with the best program, one that makes sense, one that we've used and tried, and I'll be back on it. I'm right after these holidays as well. It's called Vitality, and it's not just weight loss. It's called wellness and weight loss, and that's the beauty of it. Yeah, you'll lose weight, but you'll also, much more importantly, you'll do it in a way that is sustainable and healthy and absolutely works, because it's personalized for you. They do a scan and tells your body what you are lacking in terms of nutrients and minerals, and then they give you supplements that will absolutely make a huge difference in the way you feel and in your health. Nick's on the program, and his supplements were different than mine because the scan was very different. And the beauty is that you understand everything you're doing, why you're doing it, why it works, and you eat food that is logical, not, hey, look, I'm on a diet, I can eat pizza and meatloaf, and then you get it, and it's a prepackaged piece of meatloaf, it's the size of a quarter, or, you know, a ridiculously terrible makeshift pizza that's a 20th of the size of what you'd normally eat anyway, and it's not any good. This is good food. It's got a website with all these recipes for support, and you make what you want on that list. So that you can eat a whole bunch. You can eat from a whole bunch of different foods, and you'll feel better and look better, and most importantly, you'll be better. You'll be healthier. It's Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. Check them out. Two locations, one in southern Indiana, one here in Louisville, right off Bardstown Road. Remember the name Vitality, and make plans. And this holiday is in the books. Don't waste time. Jump back. You want to get on it right away, and you will, telling you, by the spring, you'll be shocked at the transformation, because it works, and it works in a way that you will actually not be miserable on the journey. You'll feel good and will make you a lot healthier. So check it out at Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. What are we doing, Anik? What am I doing? Oh, John Gazaway. We love talking to John Gazaway, and he's on the phone right now. How tasty is that? Hello, John Gazaway. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thanks for being with us again. So,
thanks for having me.
Here's an odd question that I've never started an interview with before. Rather than ask you a question, if you were sitting and said, gosh, I hope he asks me about this, what are you working on right now that's just piqued your interest?
Well, thank you. That's a fair question. Yeah.
It's a little different.
I'm writing a book, so let me plug that.
How about that?
Hey, listeners.
About what?
It's about college basketball at Catholic schools from the beginning of time to Villanova and Gonzaga.
Can I be in it, considering my whole career was at Catholic schools except for Kutztown and Hofstra? I was at Catholic U. I was at St. Francis, New York. I was at, well, St. Mary's actually is not Catholic, even though it sounds like it is. And Bellarmine University right here in town. Yeah, so yeah. I don't imagine your listeners have much interest in any of those places, but I want to be in it.
No, I'll tell you, this is a true story. When I was first pitching this idea and I said, yeah, basketball at Catholic school, they thought it was literally a history of basketball at Catholic University only.
Now that would be a hard sell. I got to be honest with you.
I got a cool reception to that.
Yeah, that would be. I got to be honest. It is amazing, though. I will be interesting to read it because even when I was coaching at those places, there was a part of me that wondered why. How did it become so? You know, such a part of the culture. There are Baptist schools in this country, and there are some. It's a Baylor. Yeah. It's a big deal. But you know, but the fact is, for just across the board, Catholic schools embrace this as such a big part of their culture. And I was wondering what the catalyst for that was.
Yeah, nobody. When Baylor gets the Elite Eight, nobody says, "Oh, those Baptist schools—they're so good."
Exactly.
They're so good at college basketball, and those Baptists—they're always practicing. Yeah, you know, it's something where the Catholic schools are recurrently good often enough. It's not just that they really are better. Anybody who thinks that Catholic schools in general or Jesuits in particular are good hasn't been paying much attention to Fordham for the past 48 years, goodness knows. So it's not as simple as that, but it is amazing whether you're talking about, you know, Bob Cousy and Bill Russell at Holy Cross in San Francisco, respectively, back in the day, all the way to, you know, now, two titles in 3 years for Villanova. They do just keep getting it done.
All right. Well, that when do you expect that to be out?
Father's Day 2021. Get it for your dad. It's a good dad book.
Wow. So you still, no disrespect, you're still doing a lot of research on this thing, aren't you?
A lot of writing. I've lived some of it. The only parts I had to do was like the first 75 years where I wasn't alive and find out what was going on then. But I think I'm pretty good to go, and now I'm doing a lot of writing.
Well, we'll look forward to it. John Gasway is the College Hoops writer for ESPN.com, and as he mentioned, the book is coming out in 2021. You can find him on Twitter under his name, John Gasway, G-A-S-A-W-A-Y, and so you can find him there. Interesting you brought this up, which I thought was pretty cool. And you wrote, it's fun to wonder who the last unbeaten team is or will be, but 86% of the time, doesn't matter who the last unbeaten team is. So when you're looking for trends in the national picture, that doesn't mean a whole lot, does it?
No, it's just a fun, fascinating discussion every year, this time of year. The time of year that we have the discussion is very slowly moving earlier and earlier. You know, old timers might remember 5 years ago, Kentucky made it all the way to April undefeated. We might have seen the last of that for a while because the NCAA is getting better at accepting quality losses, and that means teams are no longer afraid to play tough games, and that in turn means teams are losing games earlier than they used to. So, you know, we're already down to just four. We don't suspect, although we never know, that one of those four is going to win at all. But this is a fun thing to track. And, you know, my team once upon a time was one of the last undefeated teams. And it is cool to make it far into the season with a zero next year name. So I enjoy the spectacle of it, even as I realize that, you know, most years that doesn't translate into actually winning the national title. My goodness, in 2007, the last undefeated team was Clemson. They didn't even make the NCAA tournament. So
wow, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, there's not always the overlap that you would expect.
That's a great stat. That's incredible. The last undefeated team in 2007 didn't even get a bid. They must have really fallen on their face come conference play, I assume.
They really fell on their face. They started the season 17-0. But they went 7-9 in the ACC, lost their first ACC tournament game, and went to the NIT as a one seed and did pretty well. But no NCAA tournament for the Tigers.
I hate to say that. I wonder. I mean, if that had been a quote-unquote basketball brand name team, I find that hard to believe, that 7-9 in the ACC, 24 wins and starting 17-0. You can't tell me if Duke did that, they wouldn't have got a bid. I believe. I mean, who are we kidding here? That's because it was Clemson.
Yeah, I trust Oliver Purnell was properly missed that season. I think you make a good case.
Yeah, that's bizarre. Talking to John Gasaway from ESPN here. This is interesting. We brought this up earlier in the show. There are two tweets that are not exactly what we talked about, but you touch on them, so I'll let you elaborate a bit. I thought it was fascinating. We go do a conference thing. We call a conference call. We go bounce around the country and look at how each conference is shaping up. But some conferences haven't played any games yet. But the Big Ten, for example, the entire league, with the exception of Michigan State, who's 1-0, and Northwestern, who's 0-1, the rest of the league has all started 1-1. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that before. And you said the Big Ten is too predictable. From now on, all games should relocate to the road team's arena at halftime. Is that what it comes down to? It's just playing at home?
Yeah, you want parity. You come to the Big Ten where the home team is guaranteed to win. It doesn't matter if Northwestern is playing Michigan State. You know, Northwestern will win. It doesn't matter if Nebraska is playing Ohio State. Nebraska will win as long as it's, you know, on their home court. This is unusual. For the number of games, and for anybody who hasn't been paying attention, the home team is indeed 13-0 in the Big Ten this year.
Unbelievable.
You know, it's the kind of thing where people want to say, you know, surely that happens, you know, just in the middle of the season. It's just unusual because it's starting the season. No, it really is very rare to see this many games played where the home team goes undefeated. There have been a couple of close calls. Indiana had to go to overtime to win at home against Nebraska, but this is weird. There's nothing particularly daunting about the Big Ten in recent times as far as their home court advantage. It's good, but it's not incredible by any means. So this is just a really wacky start to the season, and it's fun. I do think that there are a lot of quality teams in the Big Ten, and I think you're probably looking at, you know, 10 or maybe even more that are in the top 50 nationally. So it is a good conference, and it is tough to go on the road, but I trust at some point some team will win a road game.
Probably too early to tell. I'm always the one saying let the cake bake and let it play out, but Franny Fraschilla tweeted this. Said it's possible that the worst teams Roy Williams and Jim Boeheim ever coach are the two this season. And you said for that, good question. Williams' 2010 team certainly comes to mind. As for Boeheim, this current group may be worse than the 82, 16, and 13 NIT team. When do we start? How far do we have to go before you start getting comfortable to say, you know, that discussion's really in play?
Yeah, I mean, we generally know more than we think we do in December. The temptation is to say it's early and there's a lot of basketball left to be played. There is a lot of basketball left to be played. It's just that, you know, we've seen a substantial portion of the season already. These teams have played 9, 10, 11, 12 games. You know, that's a healthy percentage of everything that we're going to see. And they've got hundreds of possessions under their belts. And again, teams are playing quality teams more than used to be the case. So we do know more than we might think. The only asterisk I would put by this entire discussion is purely accidental with relation to North Carolina. Right now, they're missing both Cole Anthony and Leahy Black, and that's huge. We don't know when or if those guys are coming back or in what shape they'll be in, particularly Anthony, who has a reported knee injury. So that's a big shoe out there waiting to drop. And here's North Carolina. You know, the timing couldn't be worse. They're about to go and play a true road game at Gonzaga. So tough times. They've lost three in a row, and it does look like they'll be down. But people do tend to forget, you know, just the year after the Heels won a national title, they missed the NCAA tournament entirely in 2010. So it can happen even to the best of programs.
John Gasaway's with us. Let's get a comment, if we can, on the locals. Louisville suffered a loss. Everybody gets beat, but they got beat, and they dropped from number one to number three. It was clearly, I think, their worst game. But although Texas Tech, I think, may be a little better than people appreciate, they lost so much from last year's team. But he does such a good job, Chris Beard, and they had a great game plan. And the fact of the matter is they only dropped a couple of spots. And Kentucky is down. What is Kentucky, six? Is that what they are? Is Kentucky six or eight? I don't even know what the hell they are. I should know that. I'm in their market. They're six. Okay. So what do you make of those two teams where they are, and what are you looking at going forward for them?
I can't wait for those two teams to play here in a couple of weeks. So I'll be right in front of my TV with a tub of popcorn for that one, because I think that they're both fine. I'll jump to the ending right at the start here. That Texas Tech game was fun to watch, and the Raiders fully deserve to win, but Louisville has looked really good otherwise, and this defense has looked great. Defense was even fine in losing to Texas Tech. So this is going to be a really tough team to beat all season long in a very good ACC. I think that in the new 20-game format, I'm pretty confident the Cardinals will get up above 15 wins and do very well and be in contention for the ACC title along with Duke. And Kentucky, I had the misfortune of picking them before the season to win the national championship, and then they promptly lose at home to Evansville. So I am interested in seeing if they can get things worked out. We haven't had much of an opportunity to gauge the Wildcats since the Evansville debacle. The best team they've played was Georgia Tech, and that was no particular sweat for Kentucky. But again, I think that this is a good defense that is already making its shots inside the arc. Even when I was picking them to win at all, I fretted in the preseason about their three-point shooting. That has turned out to be correct, so maybe I shouldn't have picked them after all. But I do like the prognosis for the long term for the Wildcats, and I think they'll be there with Auburn at the top of the SEC this season.
You take a look at this. You probably know this intrinsically if you hadn't written it down, but I went through it only because, I'll make a long story short, my listeners have heard me talk about this. Fred Carter, who used to work for us at ESPN, of course, Mad Dog, did NBA analysis. I have no idea why he came up with this number, but he said that when you coach or play in the NBA, after 22 games, why not 20 games or 25, I don't know, but he said 22, that's who you are. It doesn't mean you can't get better, but in other words, that's the style of play. You had better come to grips with the fact that, if you haven't been able to do it well up till then, you may have started the year, for example, thinking you were going to pound it inside, and 22 games in, you haven't been able to do that. Well, then you better coach as a team that's not going to be a pounded inside team, because you just aren't going to be able to create that. So I thought, okay, well, that's interesting. So if you make that analogy with college, roughly a quarter of the season would be 8 games, but so many of these games early in the year are not like the NBA. You're playing everybody at your level. These early games, no disrespect, but Kentucky and FDU is not really a matchup. Louisville and USC upstate. So, but it's funny, if you go through everybody's schedule, it's amazing. Almost all of them wind up with their 8th game against a Power 5 or comparable opponent, put the AC, Big East in there, on January 11th. It's almost like tax day. I'm not kidding you. It's unbelievable, because most of the time they get 5 of those kinds of games in before New Year, and then your first 3 conference games are that week. So like January 10th or January 11th. And the more I thought about it, I said maybe Freddie's onto something, because that'll be 8 games against comparable competition. That's about when I would say I'm comfortable starting to ascertain what kind of style the team really should play. How do you feel about that?
I think there's something to that. I mean, the counterexamples stand out only because they're rare. I think of, years ago, Mike Bray famously just slammed on the brakes with Notre Dame, and they started playing a much slower style went in the middle of the season, and it worked. They called it burn. What it would have been 3-4 years ago when Brad Underwood was still at Oklahoma State, and they started out 0-6 in the Big 12. They changed things completely on defense and made the NCAA tournament as a result. But those are the exceptions that prove your rule. Certainly, we should know what's going on by January, and I might slide it back even a little bit earlier. And I've found that, and I've written about this, that the Week 6 AP poll, which came out last week, is good and and correlates well. Of course, all polls from here on out do, but the point being, Week 6 is better than the previous ones and just as good as the subsequent ones. So it is possible for a team to get better late. Syracuse did exactly that in 2003 with Carmelo Anthony and won the national championship, but every national champion since 2003 has been ranked in the top 12 of the Week 6 AP poll. So if you want to
maybe in fact he's right. Maybe it is just a quarter of your season, regardless of who you're playing. 8 games in.
I do think we tend to know more early than we think we do. And there's don't get me wrong, there's still tons of surprises to come. But in terms of, you know, what teams are capable of and who has talent and what they do well, I feel like we've probably got a pretty good grip on that already.
That is going to be interesting. Again, by the way, I think you know this, but he wasn't suggesting you won't get better or, frankly, the other way, get worse. He's just suggesting that you know how you need to play. Yeah. I'd be curious to use that theory. I'm not sure that the analogies you gave with Notre Dame and with Oklahoma State are really wrong, because that's probably about the time of the year when they came to terms with how they really had to play, and that was the whole point. It was like, well, I can't keep playing the way I've been playing. So, you know, I think that's what he was talking about. You find out who you're going to really be at that point. You may say, well, we're going to be a great defensive team, but if you haven't started playing good defense by January 11th, well, you're not suddenly going to develop it in the last month of the season, I don't think. So, I don't know. Or more importantly, I think it's style more than skill. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the type of style of play. So, I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. One last question that you may have already done some research on. I was talking to Seth Greenberg in the Garden. He said, and I hadn't heard anybody else really say this, even though they didn't move the line back very much, he thinks it's really disrupted a lot of people this year. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the Division I as a whole is shooting a bad percentage. That's true. I think that part of it is that they're not approaching it with quite enough caution. The last time we moved the line back 11 years ago, not only did accuracy drop, but so did the frequency with which players attempted those shots. This year, they're being pretty brave and still attempting a lot of shots, and the result seems to be pretty plain that players are not yet able to make a decent percentage of those at the volume that they're trying. Now, of course, individual players are doing fine, and you can point to examples of great three-point shooters having great games and compiling great season stats. Marcus Howard is going to be Marcus Howard until further notice, but what has happened is that, you know, there is a class of player that last year was finding they could shoot maybe 35-36% with the line the way it was, and this year they're down around 30 or 31, and that's a big difference in terms of what the coach wants to see as an outcome. So players are adjusting, and we expected to see this drop in accuracy in the first year. It's just a little surprising that players are so stubbornly trying as many of them as they are.
That's interesting. So there is something to that. Just that small adjustment and moving it back just a little bit has really wreaked havoc with some people. Because you're right, I have not noticed any reluctance like you to say, all right, well, gee, we can't shoot as frequently as they did last year. Because, although, don't the metrics people still say, if anything, they're not shooting enough threes? How do you balance those two thoughts?
It depends on how well you shoot. It depends on how well you shoot twos. Generally, it is better to shoot more threes, just because of the old saw. You know, 33% on your threes is just as good as 50% on your twos. So, every situation with each team is different. And obviously, if you're a fantastic 2-point shooting team and a terrible 3-point shooting team, I'm thinking of Illinois right now.
Right.
the last thing you want to do is shoot more threes. And indeed, the Illini don't shoot many, and they're right not to. But yeah, that can very often be the case. And of course, historically, back in the day, the three-point line was regarded as a gimmick, and nobody shot threes ever, and that turned out to have been wrong. And we've gradually been correcting toward the more appropriate shot balance over the period of a few decades here.
Hey, John, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. I hope to do it again soon. Thanks for the time. We'll visit down the road.
Hey, sounds good. Thank you very much.
All right, John Gasway with us here on The V Show on ESPN 680-1057. It's Monday. Tim Sullivan joins us on the other side. Thanks for being with us on ESPN 680-1057.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. you're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.